I remember years ago, I had this list of being a Tomlin around Mingo. It's the first time around, his first stint in Queens. I was, as some of the guys here know, it's never easy to get branchers. And I was minding my own business, learning in yeshiva, and Mingo was courting me one day upstairs in the old Forest Hills building, recruiting me to try to come to Miami. He said his good friend Rabbi Sharf from Zetzal was called him that really wanted a team of guys to come, and I remember the story he told me to sell me to come branching. It was a story he told me about himself, somewhat. But
I have no recollection of this.
You don't remember any of this? Okay.
Anyway.
But Mingowitz told me that he talked about himself. He also talked about someone else. But that when Milwaukee was started, so Lamaisa, they needed help from base Medrash guys. They needed branchers. And Yeshiva sent branchers through the years in Milwaukee. So Mingowitz said to me, "Hey, do you know who built Milwaukee?" And he listed off one of the people who was currently in Kollel and others. He says, the base Medrash Talmidim that helped out in the branch in the early years played a big impact. And they're really, you know, part of the driving force in the success of the yeshiva. I was impressed. I'm like, okay, maybe, you know, we can help out. So he sent me to Miami. But I think was really talking about himself through the years in yeshiva, always had a tremendous impact on people, not just knowing what to say to people, but understanding their problems, understanding the issues they're going through, and really the opportunity we have right now. You know, okay, you come back in the beginning of Zman, okay, back to the pandemic, back to being locked up, but as Zman goes on, it becomes more and more of a challenge. You know, we're trying to go about learning yeshiva as normal. At the same time, you know, you're locked up. There's no al shavasim. There's no normal interaction. We keep our masks on, always nervous of what might be. And we are tremendously excited that Mingowitz agreed to speak a few moments to share some insight to the chevra going through such a nisayon. Thank you very much.
Okay. So the truth is, the reason why I recruited him is exactly the reason I told him. Because I helped build Miami. That's what it was. So actually, I must say, it's always a pleasure to be here because my roots are really here. Not in this building. You know, my roots were on 41st, right? 41st. Arthur Godfrey Boulevard, right? So many, many moons ago, I spent about 3 months in Miami. I came with one fellow. Actually, it was supposed to be a team of six. Then it whittled down to a team of four. And then the fourth person didn't want to go, so it fell apart. The concept of going with one other person was unheard of, especially since there was no base medrash. There was no base medrash in Miami at that point. It was seventh and eighth were in the building, and ninth and maybe tenth. I think ninth and tenth. So it was ninth and tenth, and they had seventh and eighth from Taurus Emes were in the building. So whatever, the fourth person fell apart, so that was it. So we weren't going. Then Rabbi Semmel came over to me and asked me, "Would you go with one other person?" I was a little taken aback, and there was never such a thing. And I was thinking, I don't know, like, why not? I guess I should go. So we went. So I went with one other person. And I was here for 3 months, from about Hanukkah to Pesach, and that person, the one per, that per, person I went down with, he left after maybe about a month, and then somebody else came and replaced him. So I saw this yeshiva in its infancy, real infancy, you know. He used to, you know, it was the beginning. So every time I come here, I must say, I have a very, very warm, very fond feelings. Also happens to be, I said my first chabura here. My first chabura was, in those days, that was the draw. You came down and anybody who wanted to say a chabura and for whatever reason was not being successful in Queens, if you came here, you said, you may never say one again, but if you came here, you ultimately would say a chabura. That was the way it was. And so Baruch Hashem, very, 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 I always enjoy being here. It's very, very special. You know, so it wasn't such a kasha, you know, to try to get other people to come. It was, anyway, so what are we talking about, Rabosai? Anybody know what we're talking about? Rabbi Kier says we're talking about Corona. I'm up to here with Corona. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's not so posh, Rabosai. So what do we talk about? Should we talk about Corona? Does anybody want to tell me what I should talk about? Any ideas? What's that? Hatzlacha and learning. Yeah. What about it? So I both say, you know, I guess, you know, it's important for us to, you know, especially in the earlier years, you know, the you, Baruch Hashem, are the fact that you're here is just that testifies that you have you want to grow, you have a desire to grow, and that force and that motivation, if I can be sure that if there was a button, if you could push a button and you'd have growth, right? The growth that we all seek. All you have to do is just push a button. I think every single person here would push that button. Because I think that's what everybody wants. Everybody wants to grow in all different areas. Everybody's very unique. Each and every one of you is very, very unique. And we all have our different challenges. And we all need to develop and grow in so many different areas. So if we had a button here, we could just push a button that would, there's no question that each and every one person here would push that button. The problem is, so if we really want it, the problem is it seems to elude us. It seems to not to be so easy to get it. And a person could be very super motivated and see a certain hatzlacha, but either it's not enough, or it's not quick enough, or maybe he doesn't see so much hatzlacha, looks like to him. So the satan, who is really behind all the anything that makes you kind of feel unmotivated or not happy, he's behind it all. The satan is very good at taking advantage and convincing you that there must be something wrong with you. That's the trick. The satan will supply you with certain ideas, and then he tells you it's your problem, it's your fault. And so what ends up happening many times is that we are kind of margish, we kind of feel a certain lack of sipuk and happiness, because we feel we should be doing better. Especially when you're younger, Rabosai, you're more motivated, right? You're more driven. So you don't necessarily see that hatzlacha so quickly. So what do you do? What are we supposed to do? And after all, it seems to be the truth, because after all, we say to ourselves, if I really wanted it, like I just said, you push the button. So why don't I do this? And why don't I do that? And why don't I do this? And why don't I do that? So there must be something wrong with me. Each and every one of us has this problem. So there's not anything wrong. And I look at the other guy, and he seems to be doing it, and I'm not doing it. Everybody, by the way, each and every one who looks at the other guy, you think that no one's looking at you, it's the same thing. You think that you're looking at the other guy, oh, nah, he doesn't have this problem, he doesn't have a problem. I still remember both sides. Many, many years ago, someone came to me and was very unhappy about the fact that he felt he didn't have friends. He didn't have friends. He wasn't popular, he didn't have friends. And he said to me, you know, if only I was Shimon. If Shimon, he's so popular, so many friends. So I couldn't deny it was true. By the end of the week, Rabosa, at the end of the week, and this is a true story. At the end of the week, Shimon came, he wanted to talk to me. And Shimon came, and he was very unhappy. I said, what's wrong? He said, I have no friends. I'm not popular. I said, Shimon, what are you talking about? You have so many friends, you're very popular. He says, nah, they're not really friends. Go figure. So Rabosa, I can tell you this, and the little experience I've had, whatever problem you think you're the only one who has, don't worry. The other person thinks it has the same thing. Maybe it doesn't have the same thing, but it's important for us to realize, Rabosa, that when that happens, when you kind of feel that, well, I'm not being so matzliach, and I wish I was being matzliach more, and whatever it is, not happening quick enough. You know, we live in an age of we want everything quick. Everything has to be quick. You know, we can't wait a minute for anything. I was out here. I came in. You know, I drive in. Baruch Hashem. You know, I rented a car. I came in. Okay, so I know my way around Miami. North Miami Beach. I made the left turn. I know how to make the left turn on Miami Gardens Drive. I make a right. I'm very happy, pull into the parking lot. And sure enough, the security guard doesn't let me in. How annoying is that? In Queens, we also have a security guard. There's no problem. Anybody can get in. There's no problem. So, you know, we want instant. I wanted to be in the building already. I have to wait. So the kids decide, tell who you. He asked me, who are you coming to see? I said, I'm thinking, Rabbi Palagon. Okay. So I said, Rabbi Palagon, okay. So I figure out, he'll let me in. No. Call him. So I call him because he doesn't pick up. So I say, he's not picking up. So I figure he'll let me in. Nope. Can I have your driver's license? He takes my driver's license and he goes in the building. You know, so it didn't happen like this, Rabbi. It doesn't happen instant. We have a serious problem, you know. But that's what it is. I suffer from the same thing, Rabosa. You think it's just you? I also suffer from it. But that's the mitzvah. So Mimela, that makes us, concerned and not so happy. So I think one thing it's important to know is the Shari Tshuva and Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva says something that's very, very important. That is a tremendous, tremendous chiddush. And maybe if we, it's not an easy answer, but at least if we knew the truth, it would encourage us. He says like this. He says the following. Maybe I have a Shari Tshuva here for me. He says pshat. Actually, he says this in Avos. He says pshat in. Let's see what time we're up to. I thought this was supposed to be a few moments. I'm in trouble. Okay, a few minutes, Rabbi, so I'll let you go. He says pshat in the Mishnah in Avos, Hillel, it says, Im'en ani li mili. So what does it mean, Im'en ani li mili? So he says an amazing thing, Rabbi. So it's Chiddush. We were learning this in Yeshiva, and he says as follows. It's the end of Shar Sheni, if you ever want to take a look at it. At the end of Shar Sheni in Shari Tshuva. Here it is. So he's Imein Ani Limili, Uchshani La'atzmi, Mo Ani Melachshavim Amosai. Imein Ani Limili. If I won't be for myself, who will be for me? So Rabbeinu Yonah says a similar thing in Avos, in his Pirush on Avos, but here he elaborates. He says as follows: Im Adam lo ya'orer nafsho ma yo'iluhu hamusorim. If a person isn't ma'orer himself, what is going to help to, what will be the benefit of musorim, of musor? Ki afal pishu nichnasim b'libo b'yom shomo, even though they go into his heart on the day he hears them, yishakchem ha'yetzer v'yavirim milvavo. The Yetzirah will make him forget it, and it will remove it from his heart. So basically, and he quotes a pasuk. He quotes a pasuk where he learns this out from. It's the pasuk is Kesef Nivchar Lishon Tzadik Lev Rishon Kimat. You here. This pasuk is referring to a tzaddik who is giving musr. Imagine a tzaddik is giving a shmuz. Imagine the Vilna Gaon is giving a shmuz. The Vilna Gaon's musr is zach, bli sig. It's pure. So the musr is pure. There's nothing lacking in the musr. So what you're hearing is the purest thing you could hear. And you're listening. So he says, the pasuk talks about a lave of a rasha is kim'at. A rasha is sitting and listening. So I would have said, okay, a rasha is sitting listening, goes in one ear, goes out the other, because he's not really listening. But the pasuk's talking about a rasha who has a lave. And Rabbeinu Yonah points out that a lave not every rasha has a lave. This particular rasha has a lave. And his lave means that he has a heart that understands and is ready to accept. In other words, there's nothing lacking, Be'etzem. There's nothing lacking in the one who's delivering the musr. And it doesn't appear there's anything lacking in the heart of the one who's being mekabel the musr. And yet, it'll only last a moment. It'll go right out. Why? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, because the Yetzer is mishakeachet. The Yetzer Hara will make you forget it. Meaning today, it went into your heart. It went in. And really, al pidarach hateva, it should have changed you, that you would mamish change. You heard the musar of a tzaddik, you should change overnight from that. The reason why you don't is because the yetzer is meshakeach. He makes us forget. Meaning, so today, it moves me, but you know, by the end of the day, it's not so vivid anymore. You know, I'm sure you've sometimes experience that, where you have a moment of inspiration, right? And then like later on in the day or the next day, you can't get it. It's you lost it, right? What's the pshat? The pshat is because the Yetzer Hara is mishakeach. He makes you forget it, and ultimately he removes it. So what do you do? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, what you do is as follows. What you do is, achein, tzarech ha'adam b'shomo ha'musar la'orer nafsho v'losum hadvarim elibo. So you have to first, it's a whole process. First you have to get into it. You have to be ma'orer your nefesh. You have to be margish. Right? You can't just, you have to get yourself to feel. And then you have to place the things on your heart, meaning you have to take it seriously. But that's not enough. V'lachshov behem tamid. And then you have to think about them always. V'aleim Yosef lekach u'milibo yotzi milin. Then what you have to do is you have to get it. Meaning, since you're going over it, and you're going over it, and you're going over it, and you're thinking about it, then you have a different understanding and appreciation. You expand from it already. You yourself can add to it, because you have it so clear. You might have heard the speech from somebody else. You might have heard the shmuz. But now you have such clarity in it that you might even be able to expand. Then, v'yoshuf yad tochach tol nafsho, then you could, like, actually kind of give the tochacha to yourself, the musa to yourself. And adasher tekabel nafsho amusar adasher titar, until you're able to be mekabel the musar. In other words, Rabosai, there's a process that's necessary. It doesn't happen like this. If we feel that we could be inspired, we hear a shmuz, and you're inspired, because you had a very good davening, you had a great seder, right? And then you find, so what do you tell yourself? I must not really be serious about it, because if I was so serious about it, then I would do something so quickly, right? It would have changed me already. Tomorrow, what happened? The answer is, Reb Elazar, the answer is a mistake. It's not true. Because the Yetzer Hara doesn't want you to grow. So therefore, he will try to make you forget it. It's supernatural. It makes no sense. Really, it should move you, right? So he'll work on you. So what do? So there's only one answer. And he says what to do. The answer is, you do it again. You go back again. You bang it in. You keep on banging it in. The more and more you work, and more you apply it, and ultimately, and you get it clear, and you go over it again, and you think about it again, the more you do that, then it remains in. It gets your konet. It becomes more part of you. And then you see the ramifications of it. Inspiration alone won't do it. It's really hard work, we're both saying. We have to roll up our sleeves and work hard. So that's why I said, I wish the answer was an easy answer. It's not an easy answer. But it works. And it's important to know, but that this is the nekuda, I think it's important to know, Reb Elazar, that we have tremendous kochos, each and every one of you here. It's tremendous kochos. If you don't see the results of it today or tomorrow, so you say, well, it must be that I'm just, I don't know, something's wrong with me. That's not the pshat. The pshat is, it doesn't happen overnight. It requires work. There was a time, Reb Elazar, not that long ago, where I was in your position. First, second, third year, right? There was such a time. And if you would have asked me, what's going to be my future? My future was uncertain. I had no idea what was going to be with me. And all those ideas and all those thoughts, will I be successful? Will I be this? All the things that badger us, right? That the Yetzer Hara puts in our heads. And the truth is, you don't have a crystal ball, so you don't know what's going to happen, right? So it's very difficult. The one thing I could be meyid, because I saw it with all my chaverim, that you just keep on plugging and you keep on working at it. You keep on working at it. And each and everyone sees Hatzlacha. If you just have to keep on working on it. And not to fall prey to the advice of the Yetzer Hara, who tells you, you're not being Matzliach, come on, after all. Why aren't you doing this and why aren't you doing that? Well, it does because the answer is because it doesn't happen so quick. That's what Rabbi Yonah is saying. You imagine that the person has a heart that is mesukan. He understands. He's ready to be mekabel. But nothing will happen. It'll go in his heart and will exit. Why? Because there's a negative force that keeps on pounding away that wants you to forget. And that's what forgetting means. Forgetting means today it's very clear. Tomorrow it's a little fuzzy. It doesn't feel the same way. And by the next day, you almost don't have the feeling at all. So Reb Elazar, it's important. This is what we talk about to be matzliach. These are important years, but these years are years that you just got to keep on plugging. Just keep on plugging. You'll see. I guarantee you, there'll be one day. Well, you'll see. Probably now already. Also, you could look back and see the hatzlacha. You see where you're up to. But you got to keep on working at it. Whatever it is, our midos, our learning, you got to keep on working, plugging, keep on plugging. It's, again, there's no easy road. There's never an easy road, but good things don't come easy, right? Quick money, what happens to quick money, Reb Elazar? Goes out. That's in Pasuk and Mishlei. It's a mashal to Torah, but it's true by money. Quick money, what does it do? What does it do for you? Yeah, you have it for a short period of time and it goes out. Easy come, easy go. So many people, unfortunately, terrible, lost money, it's what it is. It came quick. A lot of these young people made it in Lakewood, right? Years ago, we used to go collecting in Lakewood Purim. This place was packed all over the country. People came to Lakewood for Purim, right? Because all these young people, they made so much money like this. What happened? You don't go to Lakewood anymore. Nobody goes to Lakewood for Purim. Believe me, streets are dead. Nobody comes to Lakewood. Don't bother. Don't waste your time. Right? Don't go Purim. Maybe Chicago. Don't go Purim. Don't go Lakewood. So that's it, Reb Elazar. Hard work. That's it. That's the only Eitzah. That's the Eitzah as Hashem. And I can guarantee you that if you keep on plugging, you'll see Hatzlacha. Okay, Reb Elazar, we'll let you go because otherwise I'm going to get in trouble.